Day, good people. Contemplative Inner Being and me, Robert Farrell, are happy to welcome you to Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is a series of honest, inclusive, and contemplative reflections to encounter pure presence and discover deep inner connection to goodness, truth, and beauty. Wisdom is not knowing more, but knowing with more of you, knowing deeper. Wisdom may be experienced as a quiet leap of joy in the heart, absolute clarity in the mind, or a deep centeredness in the body. Contemplation, like the wisdom path, is an exercise in openness and keeping heart, mind, and body open long enough for us to touch what is deepest in us. With words, music, and silence, let us drop into our hearts and be present. Find a comfortable sitting position. Perhaps light a candle. If comfortable and you're not driving, close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Then please repeat out loud. I open my heart to love. I open my heart to wisdom. I am present. I am. Radical grace. Deep knowing and presence do not happen with our thinking minds. To truly know something, our whole being must be open, awake, and present. Our first experience of being alive is not through the visual or auditory experience of knowing ourselves through other people's responses. It is primarily felt in the body. This is kinesthetic knowing. We know ourselves in the security of those who hold us, skin to skin. This early encounter is felt. It is the original knowing. We all begin to doubt this primal union as the subject-object split of a divided world slowly takes over. Body, mind, world, self all start getting split apart. The basic fault lines in the world become real to us. And the rest of life will be spent trying to put it all back together again. True spirituality is always bringing us back to this original, embodied knowing that is unitive experience. When primal knowing is wounded or missing, an immense doubt is often created about our own and God's foundational goodness. The gift of true religion is that it parts the veil and tells us that our primal experience is trustworthy. It tells us that we are beloved, whether we receive that mirroring gaze or not. It reassures us that we live in a benevolent universe and it is on our side. The universe, it assures us, is radical grace. On the practical level, the Christian church was much more influenced by Plato and Dante than it was by Jesus. For Plato, body and soul were incompatible enemies. Matter and spirit are at deep odds with one another. For Jesus, there is no animosity between body and soul. In fact, this is the heart of Jesus' healing message and of the incarnation itself. Jesus, in whom the Word became flesh, was fully human, even as he was fully divine, with both body and spirit operating as one. In the Apostles' Creed, we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body. The creed doesn't say we believe in the resurrection of the spirit or the soul, because the soul cannot die. Instead, we profess that human embodiment has an eternal character to it. Christianity makes a daring and bold claim. God is redeeming matter and spirit, the whole of creation. The Bible speaks of the new heaven and the new earth, and the descent of the new Jerusalem from heaven to live among us. This physical universe and our physicality are going to share in the eternal mystery. Your body participates in the very mystery of salvation. In fact, it is the new and lasting temple. Many Christians falsely assume that if they could die to their body, their spirit would, for some reason, miraculously arise. The Incarnation tells us that body and spirit must fully operate and be respected as one. Rest in this knowing. Live each day. God knows our humanity inside and out. God has counted every hair on our head and bottled up every tear we have shed. Not simply because the Word formed us, knit us together in our mother's wombs, was there from the very beginning, and because God wore our skin. When our own body drags us down, when our muscles ache, when our worries keep us up at night, when our fear for the future leaves us motionless, when we feel lonely and exhausted and burdened, we do not worship a God who is far off. Ours is a God who knew longing, heartbreak, excitement, frustration, the full range of what it means to be human and live in a body. God knows what it's like to live in flesh. Dear, dear body, we get it, or at least we are starting to. You do not have an unlimited supply. You run out, and we need to listen. Maybe we really should go to bed a little earlier, or let you off the hook for craving those extra salty chips. We need to sense when you are struggling and gently acknowledge that you are actually changing. That time and love and grief and life have worn themselves into our skin, day by day. This is the beautiful, terrible evidence that we have lived. Though we begin our lives immersed in unitive, kinesthetic knowing, we learn quickly to see distinctions and divisions in the world. The developing ego sees by differentiation and negation who we are not. While such an ego structure is a natural, necessary part of growing up, it always gets in the way of the soul's holistic, non-dual consciousness. My identity, intelligence, moral sense, wealth, and social class is unfortunately gained in contrast, comparison, and competition to the person next to me. My still center, my true self, does not need to oppose, differentiate, or compare itself. It just is and is content. This must be the pearl of great price. Repressing feelings and sensations relegate them to our unconscious shadow self. They come out in unexpected and often painful ways. we must learn to recognize our physical responses, be they fear, arousal, pleasure, or pain, because they reveal additional and important information. Your mind can deceive you and put all kinds of barriers between you and your nature. But your body does not lie. Your body tells you how your life is and whether you are living from your soul or from the labyrinths of your negativity. Your body is, in essence, a crowd of different members who work in harmony to make your belonging in the world possible. The soul is not simply within the body, hidden somewhere within its recesses. The truth is rather the converse. Your body is in the soul, and the soul permeates you completely. Rest in this knowing. Incarnational understanding. The story of God becoming body is only matched by God's submission to the body of a woman. That the creator of the cosmos would choose to rely on an embodied creation. To be grown, fed, delivered, God put faith in a body, in Mary's muscles and hormones, bowels and breasts. And when Christ's body is broken and bloodshed, we should hold in mystery that first a woman's body was broken, her blood shed, in order to deliver the hope of the world into the world. The spiritual realm is so enmeshed with the physical that it is imperceptible. The chasm between the spiritual and the physical is not greater than that between a thought and a word. They cannot be disconnected, and it is difficult to tell where one ends and the other one begins. When we neglect the physical, it inevitably suffocates the image of a God who ate, slept, cried, bled, grew, and healed. May we have a faith that loves the whole of each of us. Our moving center carries unique perspective gifts, the most important of which is the capacity to understand the language of faith encoded in sacred gesture. Wisdom lives in the body. In connecting with the body, we reconnect with the wellsprings of our faith. Our bodies and their natural movements can offer us spiritual insights in a way that the intellectual mind simply cannot. It's amazing how those learning experiences invariably wind up among our most vivid childhood memories. From learning to ride a bicycle, we come to know something about interior balance, getting the hang of something from the inside out. From learning to float, we discover that trust means relaxing and letting something else hold you up. From ecstatic lovemaking, we learn not to fear dissolving into oneness. The language of spiritual transformation is already written deeply within our bodies. In terms of the spiritual journey, trying to find faith with the intellectual center is something like trying to play a violin with a saw. It's simply the wrong tool for the job. This is one reason why all religious traditions have universally insisted that religious life cannot be done with the mind alone. That is the biggest single impediment to spiritual becoming. rest in this knowing.
The angels are listening. God is listening. I'm listening. The angels are listening. God is listening.
Slowly bring your awareness back to your surroundings. Take a gentle, deep breath and let it out slowly. You're invited to take time to journal, draw, or dance, any expression to today's wisdom experience. Until next week, we bless you with grace and love. And may you see the truth about yourself, no matter how beautiful it is. May peace fill your life, so love will overflow. Peace to all, light to all, love to all.